Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, mad cow, line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. We have some show notes for you, lots of pro wrestling happening in the next couple days. Tonight, WCWO, as usual, at the Outlaw Arena in Indianapolis, Indiana. LCW in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, PSW in Piedmont, Alabama, Big West Wrestling in Kelowna, British Columbia, CWE in Port St. Lucie, Florida, GFW in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, SPW in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, tomorrow night, APW in Athens, Alabama, PWA in Jasper, Alabama, ECCW in Vancouver, British Columbia, DCW in Farmington, Delaware, FWA in St. Petersburg, Florida, Knox Pro in Sunny Valley, California, DSCW in Blue Ridge, Georgia, RCW in Chatsworth, Georgia, PWB in Romeoville, Illinois, Pro Wrestling King in Hamlet, Indiana, LPW in Hudson, Massachusetts, RPW in Chicope, Massachusetts, PWB in St. Paul, Minnesota, OCCW in Seaside, New Jersey, MWWA in St. Louis, Missouri, Evolve with the iPay-per-view happening in Queens, New York, 605 Championship Wrestling in Marietta, Ohio, IZW in Lawton, Oklahoma, FTW in Gosport, Indiana, and up in our neck of the woods, Northwest Pro in Vaughan, Washington. So lots going on today. Get out there, support your local professional wrestling. Lots going on, tons more shows than that all across the country. It's a huge weekend for pro wrestling. So get out there, support, support, support. And as we sit here in stormy Pacific Northwest, QT has dropped the call. Hopefully he will call back in. We are also awaiting our guest, Zane Stevens. He should be calling in just a few moments. Like I said, lots going on this week. As usual, we're always looking for show notes, some promotions to plug. So if you know of anything going on in any given week, don't be afraid to shoot us an email or a tweet or whatever social media contact you have for us. Let us know what's happening. We're happy to plug that here on the show. That's what we like to do, get the word out for all the professional wrestling organizations all across the United States and into Canada. As you heard, British Columbia getting a few different options in the next few days. Should be big up there for independent wrestling in Canada. Like I said, our Zane month continuing with Zane Stevens. He should be on shortly, we hope. I am at this point, I'm going to attempt to call QT back. First ever calling of QT, who has dropped the call here in very, very stormy Washington State. So let's see if we can get QT back with us. I believe we might have him here. Let's see if he picks up the call. Thank you. QT, are you with us?
Someone
open line? QT, did you drop the call? I believe we are getting running commentary from wherever it is QT Volks now is residing. QT, can you confirm random commentary? I will take that as a yes, ladies and gentlemen. I believe we are getting random commentary. And I've just received word we will be joined in just a few moments by Zane Stevens next here on Zane Month, our second Zane. 2 of 4 weeks, we will have Zanes with us next week, the Mad Dragon, Hakeem Zane, and we will finish up Zane Month with Zane Paisley of the Undisputed Wrestling Show and Ring Announcer Extraordinaire. Should be a fabulous month. This Sunday, you want to join us on Turnbuckle Turmoil as we will welcome second-generation star Leland Race. He is, of course, the son of Handsome Harley Race, tremendous wrestler in his own right, wrestles in the St. Louis area, Missouri and Illinois, has extensive training, I believe, in Japan as well. He should be a tremendous guest, lots of stories to tell, having grown up in the business. So join us Sunday. Next Friday, like I said, the Mad Dragon Hakeem Zane, who wrestles in the Midwest, Michigan, Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, extremely talented wrestler. He should be excellent as well as we continue with the Zanes. And I believe QT has once again joined us. QT, are you back with us?
Yes, Sunday. I think what happened, I was traveling south on I-5, and we've been having, finally, a lot of rain, and I think there was a lightning strike, and I went out of service because of a lightning strike. Yes.
Are you saying you resigned from the service because you're afraid of lightning?
No, my magnetic personality attracts lightning. Yes.
Wow.
Very good, yes.
That must get painful if you're outdoors on a golf course.
I hear that. I kind of fear golf courses, yes.
Can you tell the listeners today exactly what your handicap is on the golf course?
Oh, I shoot about a 3-under handicap, just like Kramer. Yes.
Wow, excellent. Not a bad handicap. And have you ever golfed at Pebble Beach? I believe our listeners would be fascinated to know that.
Boy, Pebble Beach, no, that's a little bit too rich for me, yes.
All right, well, I believe our guest has joined us. Let's bring him on. Do we have Mr. Zane Stevens with us?
Hello, sir.
Well, thank you very much for taking time today to be on our show. We appreciate that.
Man, thanks for having me.
Since this is indeed your first time on our program, we're going to give you our traditional first-timer question. What got you started in the business of professional wrestling?
Man, I think it was growing up. It was something me and my dad always did together. We always watched wrestling. He always took me to continental wrestling. So I was into that old Southern style pro wrestling. And then watching Ric Flair. And then I knew I was hooked at that moment. Then I just ended up meeting a guy that knew somebody in the business, and it went from there.
You talked about continental wrestling, and when I think of continental, the era that pops up is Eddie Gilbert, whose 54th birthday would have been today. Do you have a lot of memories of the Eddie Gilbert era of continental wrestling?
You know, I really don't. Like, I think mine was more, and but my memories, I think, was stuck with Wildfire Tommy Rich and the Armstrongs and Mr. Olympia.
That was also a very good era in the history of continental wrestling. Now, one of the organizations you're affiliated with today, one which is a governing body, actually, is the AIWF, and they have promotions all over the world. You're one of the top cruiserweights in the AIWF. Can you tell us a little bit about the AIWF and where you see it in today's wrestling landscape?
Man, wow, that's a pretty good question there, brother. That's right. They have potential. They have the potential to be something great. I think a lot of it is they need a little more organization. They use great talent for the most part. I mean, look at their world champion, Damian Wayne. I know they've got the Crazy 8 coming up in March. They're using Jimmy Ravis. I'm in there. They've got Troy Stevens. They got some great guys that they use. They have unlimited potential to be a great version of and maybe an old NWA.
AIWF, for fans that may not be familiar with them, goes back a long ways. They date back to the early 90s. Do you think that with that type of lineage, it helps an independent promotion have an affiliation with them and to be able to recognize a world champion that travels across the country?
It definitely does, man. They have another form of promotion. It's easier for 1,000 people to get your name out than it is two.
Absolutely. Now, one of the AIWF promotions in which you compete is the MSWA in Tennessee. It is a newer promotion, but picking up a lot of steam. Would you tell the listeners a little bit about MSWA and what you're currently doing in that organization?
Well, currently I am their heavyweight champion. And it's a great company out of Rockwood, Tennessee. They got a lot of speed behind them, a lot of positive attitude. They're a good promoter, a lot of good help, a lot of great talent. A guy named Matt Gilbert, if you haven't seen him, look him up. He's very talented. Cadillac Steve Burns. They got great potential as well. And they will do something great because they have a great booker and promoter, which is Ox Harley, by the way.
Speaking of him, we have a game we like to play on this show. There's a sound bite that precedes it, so I'm going to hit the sound bite.
I tell you, one of my favorite moments is me and my little brother and Jerry Wilson, we went down to TNA at Nashville, and we got in there, and I just happened to be in the bathroom using the bathroom, and I was talking to Chase Stevens, which I'd known him when he first started wrestling there as Glacius. You know, I helped him get a start. And I was talking to him, and all of a sudden this voice, it comes out of the shitter.
Now, I always say that anyone that's anyone has an Ox Harley moment themselves. What is Zane Stevens' favorite Ox Harley moment?
Man, I don't know if I have a favorite. I know that he is a card in himself. And he's always got some great stories. And he's always, you know, back in my day. I tell you, as a matter of fact, it's probably the 20-some-odd concussions that he's carried.
He may have had a couple since I saw him last. I believe he was 18 the last time I had the pleasure of seeing Ox. Speaking of concussions, though, it's been kind of a hot-button issue in the last couple of years as medical science has learned a lot more about concussions and it's being taken much more seriously than it had been in years past. What are your thoughts on the concussion problem as it relates to professional wrestling, and what, if anything, do you think needs to be done about concussions?
man, it's generally hard to do anything and control anything. I mean, we know we go into it at our own risk. I think WWE took a great step as far as no more headshots with chairs and et cetera. But, you know, as always, shit happens. Sometimes things happen and you do get hurt. We would always love for them to be some kind of insurance at our level to handle stuff like that. But what extent do you get that to happen?
How in your own career have you had to suffer through very many concussions?
Not concussions, but broken arm, dislocated shoulder, pinched sciatic nerve, bulged disc.
None of those seem very comfortable when you're in there wrestling.
Not at all. I got 2 metal plates, 7 screws in my right forearm. I have a dislocated right shoulder.
Another hot topic in wrestling over the last few years, because of the changing climate in wrestling and the belief system in today's wrestling landscape, is blood. A lot of people are against having blood whatsoever in wrestling. A lot of people see it as something that can be useful if done sparingly. And then you have a lot of the deathmatch promotions still popping up here and there where blood is heavily featured. What's your own opinion on where blood fits into the wrestling landscape here in 2015?
I think it's almost like everything else in wrestling is good if done right and done sparingly. There's so many chances of catching things now. I don't want somebody bleeding on me if you don't have a blood test done. So not every state does a license. Not every state does a blood test, so you don't know. If done right, I'm okay with it. If not done right, and I'm not a deathmatch guy, I definitely think there's room for wrestling and not overdoing it.
Well said. And we have another game we like to play on this show. It's kind of a psychological game. We call it Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. I'll ask you a series of 2 options. The one that you most prefer, that would be the answer. Are you ready to play around?
Hey, can I give you 1 second? I got to put you on hold real quick if you do not mind.
That's fine.
You give me just a minute.
QT, are you excited for this round to Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk?
I'm about as excited as at this Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk, as seeing what the rain totals will be in the Olympia area that I just drove through. Yes.
So you're saying you're like right around the Maytown rest area?
Yes, in fact, I'm at a rest stop right now. Yes.
Is it the Maytown rest area?
No, that's the one further south. I'm at the one right about mile marker 95.
Aha. Uh-huh. Have you had 2 cups of coffee so far?
I am looking at a cup of coffee on my dashboard. Yes.
Aha, uh-huh. I suspected as much. And how many cookies did you stuff into your left pocket?
I don't think they had cookies, sign guy.
That would be shocking because they almost always have cookies available.
What I'm going to have to do after the show is go back, because I'm not going to drive on I-5 in this rain holding a phone to my ear, and see if they do have the sort of assorted crumpets and jelly rolls. Yes.
I have never seen a crumpet or a jelly roll there, but I have seen assorted store brand cookies.
I just wanted to say crumpet and jelly roll. It sounds funny. That's something Dave Barnett or Rex Sharp would say. A crumpet or a jelly roll. Yes.
Are you saying Beast Barnett loves jelly rolls?
I'm just saying that Dave Barnett is sort of that upper crust society that has tea socials in the afternoon and drinks with his pinky extended.
As you heard on Total Dudes this past Wednesday, I do not endorse Celestial Tea's Jammin' Lemon Ginger Tea. I do not.
Yes, and I don't think Rex Sharp is a very big fan of Earl Grey. Yes.
What do you think Rex Sharp drinks tea-wise?
I'd say tea laced with an antibiotic steroid. Yes.
They're saying he's on the gas?
Put it this way. Rex Sharp gives off the impression of being a little bit more jacked and pumped up in the last couple months. Yes.
Well, he does hit Jack. The gym awfully hard. You're saying there's a little bit of help with that.
Well, I cannot confirm or deny this. I think he's just coming after my shot put title.
Do you have a gold belt to signify said shot put title?
Well, I don't really have gold. I have pewter. Pewter, yes. It's a combination of an alloy and metal. Yes, pewter. For those of us that are cheap.
Apparently, at least you didn't use tin foil and duct tape like some people would.
Oh, yeah, that's scraping the bottom of the barrel. Have a little bit of class, yes. Now, Sunday. Yes.
Go right ahead.
Oh, well, you know, Sangai, there was a very interesting development before I began my road trip, and it relates to, it combines everyday living with wrestling. Now, I walked into a mattress store where I bought my mattress on July 6th just to thank the lady and tell her that it was working out, plus to verify on my visa that she was the one that sold me this mattress. I wanted to confirm because I didn't quite recognize the name. Anyway, I went into the store, and the store owner had a son, Jason Padgett. Now, Jason was mugged outside of a restaurant in Tacoma, and he suffered several blows to the head, pretty vicious kicks, too. And on an interview, Jason said that he saw a white light and he thought he was going to die, but he survived this mugging. But soon after the mugging, like a day or two after, he noticed that he was starting to see shapes out of ordinary, everyday objects. And he started to see these shapes in geometric form. And he started to draw these fantastic shapes, and part of it was what he interpreted as pi, the 3.1416, as a geometric shape. Anyway, to put a story short, he had his mathematical abilities suddenly transformed into overdrive, and he went through a couple of these math courses at the University of Washington, and they tested his spatial ability to draw shapes and do mathematical formulas, and now they're off the charts. And he is described now as a mathematical savant. Now, for our typical turmoil listeners out there that don't know quite what the term savant is, it's like a Einstein. It's a genius type. A savant is a foreseer of maybe the future, and a savant grasps spatial ability and concepts that the ordinary person just can't grasp. Now, there's only like about, I'd say, 40 of these mathematical savants in the world. And part of the Dustin Hoffman movie Rain Man was based on a savant. You know, where Dustin Hoffman went into the casino and counted cards, stuff like that. Well, anyway, I was thinking that Goldust also kind of suffered a savant type experience. Now, as you know, he was thrown into an electrical outlet, our performer, our transformer box, and he got this Tourette syndrome. Well, it seems like Goldust is also a savant. When Ric Flair and Triple H were in the ring, he certainly reduced them to laughter, and that reducing them to laughter through no fault of Goldust own it, but just because of his speaking patterns, he was able to launch an attack on Triple H and Ric Flair.
That is true. Yeah. And I believe we have our guest back. Mr. Stevens, are you back?
I'm back, man. And listen, I'm a heel at heart. That's why I hung up on you.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time. Now, we were just about to go into Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. Now that you've had time to digest this, are you ready?
Let's go.
Here we go. Cruiserweight or heavyweight?
Heavyweight.
Vertical souplex or belly-to-belly souplex?
Vertical.
Stampede wrestling or world class?
World class.
Weights or cardio?
Weights.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Time or Newsweek?
Time.
Eric Watts or Eric Embry?
Watts.
Pin or submission?
Pin.
The last one, cables or real rope?
Rope.
All right. Now, one of the things that gets overlooked a lot of times in the wrestling business in the last few years is wrestling gear. Very important for a wrestler to have a unique look that stands out and allows the fans to see them as a professional wrestler. There's a lot of really good gear out there, a lot of it bad. But in your opinion, who right now has some of the best gear in the wrestling industry?
Some of the best gear. Man, it's kind of a tough one. Let's see. I'm fond of, I can't think of the guy's name. Was it Raymond Rowe? Like they had the Viking style.
From Ring of Honor, yes.
Right. That's a unique look, man. Nobody's pushing anything along those lines, and they build it to a T. And then myself, as always.
Speaking of your gear, do you have a specific gear maker that makes all of your stuff?
I actually have two, Chris Thorne Whitehead and Coy Phillips.
Very nice. I've noticed that you switch back and forth a lot between trunks and long tights. Do you have a preference, or do you mix it up depending on opponent or where you're wrestling as to what you like to wear?
Not necessarily where I'm wrestling, but who, maybe. If I'm facing off somebody against long tights, obviously I do not want to look like this guy, so I'm going to wear something different. If he's wearing black, I don't want to wear black, I'll wear red. If he's wearing red, I'll wear blue. I have plenty enough in my bag, so no, I don't look like anybody else in that locker room. I want to be the guy that stands out.
So for those independent wrestlers listening today that have one collar and it's the same as every other person on that show, there's some good advice. Change up some of your gear. Get different collars. At this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by. I know that he has questions for you. So if this help you as I pass things along to QT.
Appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Sign Guy. Hello, Zane.
Hello, sir.
Zane, I'd like to have one item of an extended Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. Are you ready for this one item, Bring On the Choice,
yeah.
Bring On the Funk? All right. Oreo double stuffed cookie or Krispy Kreme donut?
Oreo.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that concludes my Bring On the Choice, Bring On the Funk. Well, Zane, I saw your YouTube video entitled Brian Cage versus Zane Stevens. This
really? You can't watch anything better?
Oh, wait.
Hey, I thought this was a good match.
Yeah. I apologize. You get what? Zane Stevens versus Brady Pierce.
Whoa, is that a good one?
That's a great one.
Oh. Well, I'll have to make it my homework assignment to watch that, yes. What intrigued me about your match with Brian Cage is that it took place in Nashville, North Carolina, almost exactly a year and a month ago, on July 19th, 2014, for an organization called Edge Wrestling. Was this your first time that you wrestled Brian Cage?
It was.
Oh, all right. Do you know why he had the nickname Story of the Year? Why does he have that nickname?
It came up when, because I know he come up through a company in Pensacola, Florida, and he was real hot at the time. He was kind of the talk of the town, I guess you say, for that year. Because he kind of has a mouth on him. He likes to say what he wants when he wants. So they kind of made him the Story of the Year.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yes, they did say at the start of that match that he was from Pensacola Beach, Florida.
Right.
My question is, have you ever been to the Pensacola Naval Air Station, and are you a big fan of the Navy Blue Angels?
I am, and I remember my father taking me to a Blue Angel show when I was probably about 8 or 9. It's pretty amazing what they can do in those airplanes, and I have been to the base as well.
Wow. Is that a pretty big base?
It's decent size. I've seen bigger ones. I've got to get around a little bit. Thanks to my wrestling career, I've got to do some shows on base for a lot of our boys. And God bless them for doing what they do so we can come out here and do what we do.
I hear that, yes. Now, in that match with Brian Cage, the referee made you put both arms straight out, and he checked both of them, and then he checked your knee pad and both boots, but he did not check Brian Cage for foreign objects. Did you go back after that match and ask the referee why the slip-up in pre-match protocol?
You know, I don't recall if I did or not. I do know I was pretty ill at the end of the match. Not necessarily because I didn't really enjoy it. It didn't really go the way I wanted it to. So I was probably more or less beating up myself instead of worrying about beating on the ref.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Zane, on July 18th, which was a Saturday, did you get to have dinner at the Daleville Community Center in Daleville, Alabama? And was former WWE superstar Glacier and Rosie there, along with WWE Hall of Famer Sika, the Wild Samoan?
I did not get to eat dinner with them, but yes, they were there. I don't know if you know this, but I've actually been, I've had the privilege to pretty much be mentored for the last couple of years, along with Justin Overstreet, with Glacier, Ray Lloyd. He's been a very big help.
Oh, okay. All right. Were you a huge fan of the tag team of the Hurricane and Rosie?
I was, man. I think more or less the Hurricane, because he was always funny, always made me laugh.
Yeah, he was pretty good, wasn't he? Yes.
I loved his stuff with The Rock when they did that little feud there.
Yes.
Some of the greatest stuff ever.
Yes, yes, he was feuding with The Rock. Yes. Well, Zane, in that match, you had a modified dropkick on Brian at the 4:10 mark of the match, and again at the 4:16 mark of the match. You were very high off the canvas in a showcase of what you had. I think it was a showcase of your vertical leap talent. Did you know that the inventor of the Fosbury flop high jump style, Dick Fosbury, went to Oregon State University, and that he won the high jump in Mexico City at the 1968 Olympics?
I did not know that.
Did you ever high jump in high school?
I did not. We didn't necessarily have that where I was from, man. It was football or baseball or nothing.
Oh, okay. Now, did you play center field for your baseball team in high school, or did you turn
catcher? Played catcher.
Oh, all right, catcher. Okay. All right. Now, did you know that at the 1960 Olympics, Bob Beamon broke the world record in the long jump by well over a foot when he jumped 29 feet, 2.5 inches? Well, Brian Cage probably covered a fourth of this distance when he leaped off the second turnbuckle at the 5:45 mark and hit you with a flying elbow smash. Were you aware of his leaping ability before the match, and had you looked at video tape of him?
I was, and I had. He's went further.
Yeah, he's a good leaper, yes.
Yeah. Hey, 1 second, boss.
Oh, okay.
Now, QT, are you aware that the Fosbury flop came up this week on Ring of Honor television by one Kevin Kelly?
I'm well aware of that fact and quite delighted that it came up. So, finally, Sign Guy, people are acknowledging the symbiotic link between wrestling and track and field.
Or Kevin Kelly is a huge fan of both yourself and Bob Hardy and is trying to impress you over the airwaves on Destination America.
I'm just hoping Kevin Kelly will support me financially when it comes to me trying to clear the bottom rope at Blue Collar Wrestling or SCW. I'm still in the quest of that, yes.
You realize there's quite a significant height difference in the two promotions' bottom ropes.
Yes, that's true. I've got to be adaptable in my leaping abilities. Yes.
And I'm pretty sure if you just fall down, you would clear the second rope at BCW.
The thing is, Sign Guy, that I cannot conceivably really do the Fosbury flop, because then if I executed a good jump, I'd probably be brushing my stomach on the second rope. So I've got to do like the straddle jump. Yes, the straddle.
Sorry about putting you guys on hold again. I'm back.
Oh, okay. Well, Zane, speaking of Olympic distances and heights, did you know that the leader of the Black Sheep Squadron and World War II Medal of Honor recipient, Colonel Pappy Boyington, was interned in the Japanese prisoner of war camp, Ofuna, with Olympic distance runner Louis Zamperini?
I did not, but you know, what kind of research do you do? Man.
Well, you see, Zane, I did more some research on Pappy Boyington because he survived the war. And I actually met him when I was a young kid at a Portland, Oregon airplane show in the early 70s.
Wow.
Now, the reason I mentioned Pappy Boyington was he turned out for his high school wrestling team in Tacoma, Washington. And he later attended the University of Washington and was on the wrestling and swim teams. But Zane, what really blew me away was I found out that after the war, he had actually had a few professional wrestling matches himself, and he also became a manager.
That's awesome. Man of many talents.
I think that's probably the only professional wrestler that shot down 22 airplanes in World War II, and he also became a professional wrestler and manager, and a Medal of Honor winner.
He's probably going to be the only Medal of Honor winner.
Well, Zane, is it true that your family also has a rich heritage of military service?
We do, not necessarily my direct family, but I have a lot of cousins, uncles. I had an uncle that served in Nam. He was in Saigon. Both times they took Saigon, he was an expert sniper. Can't have him. You can't make him talk about it. Then I understand why.
Okay, okay. Well, Zane, you hit Brian with three knife-edged chops, first at the 8-16 mark, and then again at the 8-19 mark, and then 4 seconds later at the 8-22 mark. My question is, what were the three hardest knife-edged chops that you can recall receiving, and who gave them to you? Was one of them Madman Pondo?
And I've not been chopped by Madman Pondo. I think, let's see, what would be one of the worst ones I've had? As a matter of fact, what is this guy's name? It was actually in Delville when Glacier and Rosie was there. I'm trying to remember the guy I worked, and I feel so bad because this guy's a great talent. I cannot think of his name right now to save my life. But I took four from him, and I literally thought he was going to stop my heart.
Oh, boy, those are hard, yes.
He runs around. He's with Francisco Ciasso and Simon Says. He's part of their show in a box, and I can't think of this guy's name to save my life, man. I feel like crap because I can't remember it.
Wow, all right. Well, when you do think of it, you can get back to either Sign Guy or myself and fill us in on this person. Yes, we'd like to know. All right. Well, Zane, you did get that hard-fought win against Brian at the 10:52 mark. Have you met him in action since?
I have not, and I don't think I've been – I think we've been at one other event together or two other events since that time.
Oh, okay. All right, well, Zane, I also saw your match against Brady Pierce. And during this match, you came down with a knee drop to his jaw at the 10:20 mark. I'd say that was from a high height. I may add, it looks like your knee traveled a vertical distance of probably 3 feet. But it also looked like you strained your knee because after landing this knee drop, you staggered around the ring with a limp, and you finally covered him after about 6 seconds of limping around the ring for a 2.5 count. Had you covered him faster, I think you would have won the match, but your knee was giving you trouble. Yes.
I mean, granted, have you ever dropped a knee on somebody's head?
No.
Even with a knee pad, it's painful. And I pulled the knee pad off, so it made it even worse.
Well,
maybe if
I
covered him sooner.
What's that?
I said maybe if I'd have covered him sooner, I'd have come out with a W then, a little earlier than I did. Probably.
Wow. All right. My question is, had you had a prior knee injury before this match?
I had tore that one about 3 times.
Oh, yes. And that was your right knee. Yes.
Yeah. 1 second, boss.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, now in that match with Brady, he said that he was a true heavyweight, and he measured about 6'3" and 230 pounds. Have you ever wrestled anyone in the 6'6", 350-pound range, like Lex Luger, only heavier?
All right, sir. I don't know if y'all noticed, but I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off today.
Oh, okay. Well, that's quite okay. My question was, Brady was announced by the announcer. He was billed as a true heavyweight, and they said that he measured 6'3" and 230 pounds. My question is, have you ever wrestled anyone in the 6'6", 350-pound range? Kind of built like Lex Luger, only heavier?
I haven't. I've come close. We've had some right at the 6'5", probably 270, 280 mark. Guy named Paul Jourdain, Michael Steele. But Brady Pierce is probably one of the toughest athletes I've been in the ring with.
Well, now you got the win over Brady in what some fans may call controversial, because they say you hit him in the forehead with a belt when the referee's back was turned at the 13-minute and 58-second mark. Have you met Brady in the ring since?
Have not. That was mine and Brady's second meeting then, and I'm looking forward to the third.
And that was at Severe Attitude Wrestling Mid-South, was it not?
Do what?
That was for Severe Attitude Wrestling Mid-South, right?
That was the Mid-South Wrestling Alliance with Doc Harley.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Lance, is it true you are a collector of memorabilia and you have a WWF program dating back to the year 1980 and it's in mint condition?
That's not me, but that is a friend of mine, Justin Dunaway, and yes, he does have that.
Oh, wow. All right. Will we see a bobblehead in your likeness anytime soon?
And, you know, maybe, but who wants to buy a bobblehead of a bad guy, right?
QT Votes does.
You know, the world's got good guys and the world needs bad guys. There can't be good guys without guys like me. So I might as well be the best bad guy I can be.
I myself am drawn to tweeners, in-betweeners, people that can't make up their minds. Yes.
Not making every mind doesn't sell tickets.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I also, you mentioned that you like the Hurricane. I also like the character Goldust, who was thrown in a transformer, an electrical transformer, and thus got his Tourette syndrome because of electrical shock. Yes.
Right. I enjoyed Goldust. I actually got to share the ring with him. I actually got to work against him. It was right before they did the pay-per-view the first time and put the straps on him and Cody.
Wow. Oh, man. So you actually wrestled. Okay, did he try to spank you with a paddle? That's what I'm
He
at.
Did not, but I did get hit with a shattered dream.
Oh, that's fantastic. Wow. Now, I think Sign Guy will agree that we have to start asking our guests if they have been hit with a shattered dream, and we've got to start compiling this. You're the first one that we know of. Yes.
It's very unpleasant.
Yes, I can imagine. All right. Fantastic. Well, I'm going to mark you down as a shattered dream recipient. And at this time, I'm going to give it back to Sign Guy. Yes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, QT. Zane, one of the big things in the last 10 years to happen for wrestling is social media. It's become a marketing tool for promotions and wrestlers alike. Where do you see social media as far as the importance of it in today's wrestling landscape, especially the independent level?
Man, there's a downside because you can always find everything on the internet. You can always find everything on social media. We want somebody to come and buy a ticket and watch the show, to watch the finished product. Every time a new wrestler goes to the show, especially if they're real green, they may not understand. They'll post their whole match, and this guy's like, well, if I can watch this match on social media, why do I need to go and pay a ticket and watch it if I can see it for free? Downside, we need asses in the seats. Upside, man, I don't know if anybody saw the video that Triple H posted maybe a week and a half, 2 weeks ago when he did the Facebook video when it was in real time. It's amazing. You almost do anything with social media. So there's kind of unlimited as far as when wrestling goes, and you're able to upload a promo is, you know, it's good and bad.
one of the dying arts in professional wrestling today, especially in the major national companies, is managers. They used to be extremely important, and they've been phased out almost to the point of extinction by the national companies. Where do you see managers in the world of professional wrestling now? Do you think that there's a place for them? Do you think that independent wrestling still is a haven for good managers?
Man, I always like to think there's a place for people like Jim Cornette and Bobby the Brain Heenan. But it's getting to the point where most guys aren't hired if they can't speak, if they don't have charisma. They're based on, can you sell a ticket? If you can't go out there and talk, you can't sell a ticket. They used to not have a problem with putting somebody with you that could talk better than you, but now if maybe we're cutting back on payroll, we don't need this guy, or we just won't hire this guy to do it. I'm always a fan of it. I was always a fan of, like I said, Jim Cornette and Bobby the Brain Heenan. They always brought that little extra, or even Mr. T and that older era of guys that maybe they knew a little more about it and what they were doing than what guys do now. And if they were more legit guys now like they were then, maybe they'd be a better place for them.
Well said.
We have one more game we like to play on this show, another psychological test called word association. I will throw out the name of someone that you likely have come across in your career, and the first word or two that pops into your head, that would be the answer. Are you prepared to play?
Let's go.
First one, Trevor Murdoch.
Can't wait.
Jack Lord.
Awesome that.
Justin Overstreet.
Best friend.
Joey Kidman.
Missed.
Brady Pierce.
Amazing talent.
Mackenzie York.
Talented.
Billy Rays.
Acrobatic.
Shane Williams.
Very old school.
The last one, Sika.
Oh, speechless.
At this point in time, we have just a few minutes left in the show, so I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you'd like to say to the people listening, plug and promote anything and everything you want, upcoming appearances, merchandise, social medias, your favorite donut shop, whatever it is, go for it.
Man, we've got August 22nd, Iron Fist Pro Wrestling, Orlando Rec Center, Orlando, Florida. I'd like to put over, like I said, Mid-South Wrestling Association, Rockwood, Tennessee, Ox Harley. Syndicate Pro Wrestling, Syndicate Promotions Wrestling in Columbus, Georgia. And then we've also got the AIWF, the Crazy Eight, March 19th, 2016. I'm going to come out on top because I'm the Cruiserweight Killer. We have Mid-Atlantic Wrestling League, the Buddy Landell Memorial Cup, Q-Ball Carmichael. There's a Tracy Smothers seminar earlier that day. That's going to be fantastic. We have Southern Extreme Wrestling, September 5th in Cookeville, Tennessee. And then, as always, Central All-Star Wrestling.
Well, Zane Stevens, I want to thank you very much for being on the show today. It was great having you with us. And best of luck to you as you continue with your career. And best of luck in the upcoming Crazy Eight. I know that's a pretty prestigious tournament.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for putting up with me and having me on as well.
Thank you, Zane.
Y'all have a blessed one.
Well, fans, get out there, support. If you see Zane Stevens is going to be on a show near you, get out there, check him out. Great talent. MSWA ran by Ox Harley, whom I know does a great job. AIWF, an extremely well-established affiliate organization, so get out there, support all of that. And Sunday we will be back with you with the Leland Race. So join us on Sunday, and we will talk to you then.
She has suffered.